broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Bill Hendrick.
I told him, well, I'd like, you know, if I do contribute, I would like.
No, as a matter of fact, we in the House of Representatives have on any number of occasions.
Broadcasting from the shores of
very well. This dog's only going
to
do what
I do believe that people want to believe that someone who deeply cares about the military.
I think that's pretty gay.
Yeah. Anyway, world famous Phil Henry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and where we go places other talk shows can't go, wouldn't go, probably on any given night, shouldn't go. The world famous Phil Henry Show. 877-876-PHIL, as well as our website, philhenryshow.com, for all of your Phil Henry needs. And you can go there right now. And the show that you're listening to probably is going to make a lot more sense if you're watching us on video or not. It doesn't make any difference. If you don't understand the show by now, you'll never understand it. And that goes for most of you program directors and general managers that are listening right now.
Watch it.
What do you mean, watch it? What do you mean, watch it, man? I'm sitting there with my very close personal friend, David Bernstein, who, by the way, used to be the program director at WOR, but isn't anymore. And he said to me, what do you say when people say, I don't get it? I said, I don't know. What are they talking about? It's your radio show. I said, well, who are they? He goes, program directors and general managers. I said, they're wonderful people. All right, look, 877-876-PHIL.
That's not what you told me.
Never mind. And coming up is our news hour this hour with Robert and Bud. Jerry Rafferty has passed along. Passed on. And he's probably passed something along, too. After he passed on, passed something along to whoever's up there or down there, wherever he went. Jerry was the singer, songwriter who made the song Baker Street popular. You may know it, you may not. I don't know if we have a clip of it here in our audio file, do we? Yeah, Jerry Rafferty. Here is a little bit of Baker Street.
I know dear, and then you'd be happy.
Okay, enough of that garbage. No, I'm kidding. It's a nice song.
I know dear, and then you'd be.
That's right.
Just one more year and then you'd be happy. But you're crying now.
And if you watch the movie Reservoir Dogs, you remember this one. Oh, yeah, man, I remember this. Yeah, wasn't he dancing to this just before he was going to cut that guy's ear off or something?
Yeah, that was a great scene and everything.
Yeah, I'll bet. I bet you love that. Jerry Rafferty has passed on at the age of 63. Jerry Rafferty was with the group Steeler's Wheel that did that song Stuck in the Middle. He had top 10 successes with Steeler's Wheel and with Baker Street. He died on Tuesday in London from liver failure after a long battle with alcoholism. The Scottish-born singer and songwriter had reportedly been hospitalized during November in Dorset, England, with a grim prognosis. He was taken off of life support and showed some improvement until this week. 63 years of age. His former manager, Michael Gray, in an obituary for the British newspaper The Guardian, praised Rafferty's voice as redolent of both Lennon's and McCartney's, yet unmistakably his own. A lot of people thought it was John Lennon when he first started singing. He sounded so much like him. And his music as a shimmering delta of sound, romantic yet pushily sardonic. Thanks to Jerry's gift of perfect pitch and an obdurate determination to stick to his guns, and so on and so forth. So it's a very nice obituary. The latter, Gray wrote, ultimately limited Rafferty's musical achievements. Behind an aggressive front and a strong awareness of his own musical excellence was fear. He turned down working with Eric Clapton, Paul McCartney, and others. Jerry Rafferty. Now, in other artistic news, we have...
Yeah, segue into Donald Duck here.
Why would I segue into Donald Duck?
I'm going to just make it lighten it up.
Lighten up what? I'm going to segue to where I want to segue.
I just thought Jerry Rafferty to Donald Duck would be good.
Is that what you thought? Well, I'm not going to do that. You ought to segue into Donald Duck. Do you understand that a man has passed on, a man that was people liked? You guys are too young to remember his music. You know, someday, man, someday Ice Cube's going to die. Someday that other guy you cats have been listening to these days. Who's that kid with that new, I forget his name.
What are you talking about, Eminem?
Not Eminem, that other guy, but the dude that did Gonorrhea, whoever that guy is. Someday he's going to die.
You mean Bruno Mars?
Get out of here with Bruno Mars. Someday your guys are going to croak, and there'll be a kid standing there going, ha, 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 ha.
Yeah, they do that, man. When Eminem go and they do that, I'll kick their ass.
Oh, is that what you think you're going to do, kick their ass? What if you're too old to kick their ass?
I'll never be too old to kick their ass.
What about when the cast of Glee dies, Jason Rance is going to weep. He'll weep big squirt tears.
Yeah, he'll be all like, ooh, Glee died. Oh,
yeah, I'm sure that's what he's going to say. All right. Here is a very, very interesting story. It's a redolent of something, just to use that word because I like it so much, of something quite bizarre happening in the body politic and culture of America, and that is that we now, this generation of Americans is amazing. I mean, I'm telling you, we're amazing. This baby boomer-led generation of Americans that has overseen, and I'm sorry, but has been the engine driving the worst economic collapse since the Great Depression. The companies that we've run, the companies that we own, the industry that we have been overseeing collapses on its ass. The banking industry, I mean, if you look at it that way, that's about the most truthful way you can look at it. Forget about whether Obama did this or Bush did that. I mean, this is an American business scene that's run by its people. Now, not only have we butchered that job beyond all recognition, we also stopped down long enough to tell people, you know, I'd like to have Brave New World removed from the library because I don't think that. So now we're telling everybody that Aldous Huxley's work is no good. And on top of that, so we've butchered alive the economy. We got Aldous Huxley getting pulled out of the public library. And on top of that, why don't we just rewrite Huckleberry Finn while we're on the subject? Have you ever seen a generation of Americans as in love with itself as this one and as inept as this one?
Well, what about the one that had the depression?
Well, you know what? They might have been, but they recouped themselves very well by going out and beating ass on those Nazis.
Well, that's true.
Mark Twain's Adventures of Huckleberry Finn is a classic by most any measure. T.S. Eliot, who I know nobody knows who he is, he was a poet, called it a masterpiece. Ernest Hemingway pronounced it the source of all modern American literature. Yet, for decades, it's been disappearing from grade school curricula across the country, relegated to optional reading lists, or banned outright, appearing again and again on lists of the nation's most challenged books. Why? Because it uses the N-word. Mark Twain scholar Alan Gribben and New South Books plan to release a version of Huckleberry Finn in a single volume with the Adventures of Tom Sawyer that does away with the N-word, as well as the engine word, by replacing it with the word slave. This is not an effort to render Tom Sawyer and Huckleberry Finn colorblind, said Gribben, speaking from his office at Auburn University at Montgomery, where he spent most of the past 20 years heading the English department. Race matters in these books. It's a matter of how you express it in the 21st century. Well, they're not 21st century books there, Professor. Now, let me give you an idea of what to do here, Professor, even though I know you're an eminent man and you're educated, but I'm just a man. I'm just a human being, and I'm going to tell you, books are valuable not just because of what is in them, but because of the times in which they were created. You don't just take a Huckleberry Finn or any work by Samuel Johnson, let's say, or anything, and say, aha, here is a book from which I can pull the truths of life. You have to look at that as a product of the time it was created in. Pilgrim's Progress may be somebody's favorite book, but Pilgrim's Progress was written in a certain time frame. The Constitution. The Constitution. The Declaration of Independence. Do you want to rewrite the Declaration of Independence because it calls Native Americans savages? Do you want to do that? Why don't we do that?
Yeah, you can't do that, though. That's more important.
Oh, you mean it's like the Word of God, huh? So how about if we rewrite the Bible?
Well, they've been doing that anyway, man. They rewrite the Bible all the time.
What do you mean they rewrite the Bible all the time?
They do. They all change the Bible.
And no, they don't. They got a whole bunch of different versions of the Bible, but nobody knows who the hell wrote it in the first place.
Yeah, they do. God wrote it.
Well, okay, if God wrote it, then I guess he's still writing it. You can make a whole lot of exceptions for the Bible, man, because, like I said, if that's the Word of God, then maybe it's ever-changing in the way it reveals itself to man. I don't know. But I'm telling you right now, if you look at the Constitution of the United States and people say, what was the intention? You're absolutely right. We have to take it in the times that it was created. So if the Constitution of the United States, 1787, when the Constitution was adopted, right? And we say, well, it has all of this stuff. Well, it has all of this stuff because it was written in 1787. Well, then how can it apply to us today? It applies to us today through our interpretation of the Constitution by way of contemporary society and the times we live in now. So we see and we recognize it was written in 1787. It ain't got nothing in there about women. It ain't got nothing in there about black people being three-fifths of a human being and all that other stuff that these dumbasses would tell you means, well, if they didn't intend women to vote, then women shouldn't vote, as if that's the word of God, too. Well, it's not. It's the word of men. And there are people who are such a pain in the ass about the Constitution. They'll tell you this. It's not meant to be interpreted any other way than it. We ain't talking about the Bible here, hillbilly. We're talking about the Constitution. So the guy says, well, what do we do then if it doesn't say anything about freeing slaves or slaves are, well, we take the Constitution to mean that people born in America are citizens. That's what it says right there. People can be naturalized as citizens. But really, there's nothing in here about slavery. So we have to amend it. And we do. Why do we amend it? So that it reflects, it better reflects who we are and who we've become. That's why you amend the damn thing, because it is a static piece of writing from the 1780s. Otherwise, we wouldn't have to mess with it at all, you know.
Well, what, you're going to just not sit there and read it like the way it is?
Yeah, you could do that. Same thing with Huckleberry Finn. Now, you don't need to change Huckleberry Finn, and you can't change Huckleberry Finn because it wasn't meant to be changed. The Constitution has a process whereby. That's what I want to say. The Bible, there's so many different versions of the Bible that it's now a de facto. It's like the Wikipedia thing. You know, that's what the Bible is. But these books that were written by human beings who laid them down the way they laid them down and wrote them the way they wrote them, and they're not law, and it isn't the word of God, but it is the creation of a person whose rights should be respected. And for us to take it, I don't give a damn who this jackball is, and take the N-word out of it, and take the engine word out of it, and change it, is to simply say, okay, there's nothing. There's nothing in this world that has any permanence at all. We can change it all. We can change it all. There was years ago a stamp, and it was a stamp that was honoring blues artists, American blues artists.
Oh, yeah, you talking about that one guy?
Yeah, I'm talking about Robert Johnson. There's a very famous picture of Robert Johnson, the blues artist, with a cigarette hanging out of his mouth. Robert Johnson wrote Crossroads. Robert Johnson wrote a ton of music that later became they later became staples in the world of rock and roll. In any event, this is a very iconic photograph of Robert Johnson sitting on a porch with this six-string acoustic guitar and the, you know, steel-string guitar and the cigarette hanging out of his mouth. Well, when they decided to make a stamp, well, we can't have a cigarette now, can we? And what difference does it make? It might make a difference to Robert Johnson. You ever think of that? But in any event, they airbrushed the cigarette out of there because they wanted Robert Johnson to be honored, but they didn't want the Robert Johnson that smoked cigarettes to be honored. They wanted the Robert Johnson that what? Didn't smoke cigarettes? He smoked cigarettes.
Well, they just wanted people to see his face, too, if they had the cigarette hanging out.
Yeah, okay. Well, how do you know what his face looks like?
Well, yeah, because that part of the cigarette coming up, you don't know.
What are you talking about?
If they airbrushed the cigarette out, that's fine, but it covered up a piece of his face. You don't know what it looked like.
Well, don't get crazy, man. I mean, the fact of the matter remains, that was a photograph that was taken and it's airbrushed out for politically correct reasons, and that's this generation of Americans. That's really going to be our stamp on the history of America. The generation of Americans with such a huge ego that we changed literature, we took Brave New World out of libraries, we decided that this and we decided that, and in the process, if we get right down to the real nitty-gritty of how we handled this country, in the process, we butchered this thing six ways to sunset, man. We caved in the banking system. system. We destroyed American industry. I mean, if you get down to the real work, man, we didn't do any. Now, that's my, I'm telling you right now, we got a few years to redeem ourselves, but at times are wasting. This is a generation of Americans, other than the ones that are over in Iraq and Afghanistan, to be perfectly honest with you, that ain't done a thing. And I mean nothing. All right?
Well, you're talking about yourself, man.
Well, I'm doing something. I'm working. We'll be back. 877-876-PHIL. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
It's get rid of the N-word.
The Phil Hendry Show.
I somehow like life with the N-word in it.
For all things news and talk radio, visit trncentral.com. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
A Pennsylvania woman who claims Donald Duck groped her at Disney's Epcot theme park can have her day in court, according to a federal judge. Hi, everybody. This is Phil Hendry. Welcome back to our show.
That's what I wanted you to do.
Yeah, well, I'm going to do this How to Rock Your Next Job interview, too. So stick around, folks. We've got a great story here. How to Rock Your Next Job Interview, and I'm going to be testing you, bud, and you too, Robert.
Well, about what?
How to do a job interview.
What, are you firing me?
I'm not, I'm not firing you yet, but I'm telling you guys, or you either, pal, I'm telling you guys, you need to do this with me so people can see it demonstrated. Now, I just want to get back to the Donald Duck story because this is heavy, man. April Magolan, she's 27 years of age. She claimed that the character, the Donald Duck character, grabbed her breast as she held her child at the Walt Disney World Park. Then the wacky duck had the gall to joke about it, she says. Magolan says the encounter caused post-traumatic stress in the form of nightmares, digestive problems, and other permanent injuries. Court documents show, and you guys shouldn't laugh at that, okay?
Well,
you shouldn't laugh at that because it's true, man. You can't judge how certain things are going to affect people. Anyway, court documents show that the mother also charged that there was a history of fondling complaints against Disney park workers, saying that the giant entertainment company has condoned these actions. Yes, that's, I'm sure, what's going on. Her suit was filed in Pennsylvania, where Disney attorneys argued that the lawsuits either be dismissed or moved to Florida, where the encounter took place. Well, the U.S. District Judge John R. Padova refused, saying Magolan can proceed in Pennsylvania. She, her fiancé, who was a witness to the alleged assault, and her treating doctors are all located in Pennsylvania, Padova wrote in his December the 29th ruling. So that's the big thing here. It's going to go forward in Pennsylvania.
Well, what it do?
It was a duck. You know the big ducks they've got?
Yeah, it's like a big duck at the thing.
I know what it is, but what, he just walked up and grabbed it?
I don't know if he walked up and grabbed it. I think that they were taking photographs. Let me just look here and see. It goes on to say that the woman, there's a whole lot of technical information here. It doesn't really give us the particulars, but I do remember the case, and I think that they were having photographs taken, and the duck was there, and right as the, picture was taken, or maybe just a little bit before, it happened.
Well, so right when the picture got taken, they reached up and squeezed it for the picture, probably.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, are you telling me so they pulled and the duck cupped it?
Yeah.
What do you mean the duck cupped it?
Yeah, the duck, that's what my understanding was, that as soon as the picture got taken, the duck he did the boob cup, I guess, or cupped a boob.
Yeah.
Cupped a boob, huh?
Well, that's what you're asking.
Well, I'll tell you something. These guys, these characters, they're getting away with murder.
Yeah, what about Chip and Dale, man?
Chip and Dale, all of them. They all ought to be taken out and shot. All right.
Are you kidding?
Yes, I'm kidding, okay? Whoever these guys are that are playing these characters, or these women,
See, that's the thing. A lot of them is women because the duck suit's too small,
What do you mean the duck suit's all do?
What are you talking about, bud?
There, a lot of them are women.
What are the characters?
Yeah.
Not all of them are women.
The
duck suit, the women, I'll tell you who the women characters are.
Yeah, like Peter Pan.
Peter Pan, Tinkerbell.
What about Captain Hook?
What do you mean, Captain Hook?
I think Captain Hook's a woman.
I don't know, maybe Captain Hook's a woman. I don't know. Cinderella and all of that jazz, okay?
What about Chip and Dale? Because they cup... My understanding is Chip and Dale cup someone's genitals. Are you kidding, man?
Chip and Dale cup someone's genitals.
Oh, man. That's my understanding.
Yeah. I got to take a break, man. We'll be back. World famous Phil Hendry show. We'll tell you how to ace your next job interview, plus a creepy TMZ paparazzi hits on Lindsay Lohan. You create a Harvey Levin, man. Why don't you either take a freaking bath or get out of the business, okay? Thank you. Love you, babe. We'll be back. Phil Hendry show.
Phil Hendry.
Too.
I'll get to him in a moment, okay? All right, first off, how to rock your next job interview. Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. It's easy to get nervous before a job interview, especially if you haven't had one for a while, and if you've been out of work for an extended period of time, each opportunity to interview becomes increasingly important. In a moment, we'll tell you how to rock your next job interview. Where is he?
Line two.
All right, coming up here on line two, we have David G. Hall. He's the vice president of syndication. David, what's up?
Hey, Phil, the story today, and I just had a wild idea. Glenn Beck, and they made a big deal out of the fact that Glenn Beck has been dropped at WOR in New York.
And well, that happens. I mean, you're doing a syndicated radio show. You're going to add stations and lose stations.
Right, but I was thinking that they could replace Glenn with a homeless guy. What do you think about that?
With a homeless guy.
Yeah. I think that a homeless guy would replace Glenn Beck.
Well, I don't think a homeless guy could replace Glenn Beck, no.
You know?
No.
Really? Okay, but do it.
What?
Get the... Hold on. Just... So, Phil.
Yes.
Do you think that a homeless guy could replace Blue Black? Not Blue Black. I'm nervous. Hold on. Bud, have you got... Is Bud Dickman there?
Yeah, I'm here. What?
Are you ready to do it?
Yeah.
Phil?
Yes, what's going on, man?
Don't yell at me.
I'm sorry, yes.
Do you think that Bobby Blue Bland... Not Bobby... Do you think a homeless man could replace... Glenn Black... Glenn...
Why?
I wanted to do this perfect.
What is going on with him?
Got a homeless guy voice that sounds good.
It's a homeless guy that sounds good.
It's a homeless guy that sounds good. Is this what the story is?
Yes.
Well, then just, why are we doing, do you think a homeless guy could replace Glenn Beck?
Because I thought it would work.
What's the name of this guy?
I think this guy, his name is Ted Williams, believe it or not, and here he is.
Hey, I'm going to make you work for your dollar. Say something with that great radio voice.
When you're listening to nothing but the best of oldies, you're listening to Magic 98.9.
What about
Thank
that?
Thank you so much. God bless you. Thank you.
And wow!
We'll be back with more right after these words.
Is that the kid?
Yeah, don't forget, tomorrow morning is your chance to win a pair of tickets to see this man live in concert. Thank you so much.
That's amazing, huh?
Yeah. Show the people in the video cast the guy. Yeah, that's him right there. That's the gentleman. And they found this guy out in the streets of Columbus, Ohio, if you're ready for that.
What's his name? His name is Ted Williams. That's like the baseball player.
Yeah, the baseball player. And the video has gone viral. How about that guy's voice?
It's a beautiful voice, a perfect voice. And he's got a face for radio, doesn't he?
Yeah, well, you got it. He's as ugly as anybody that's ever been in radio. He's perfect for radio. Perfect.
Let's hear this other one here. This is Ted Williams tells the reporter his story and how he ended up homeless and how the idea of Theater of the Mind radio inspired him.
When I was 14, I kind of
listen to one of our area radio announcers. And I went as a field trip to go meet the guy, and he looked nothing like what he sounded like. So I asked him about that, and he said to me, listen, radio is defined theater of mind. And so when he said theater of mind, I just said, well, hey, I can't be an actor. I can't be an on-air personality. But the voice just became something of a development over years, and I went to school for it. And then alcohol and drugs and a few other things became a part of my life. And I got 2 years clean, and I'm trying hard to get it back. And hopefully somebody from one of these television or radio says, hey, I need a voiceover, or I need something.
Yeah, and you know what I was thinking, Bill, when he said that he has his voice and drugs and alcohol overtook his life? What makes him different from anybody else in radio? You know.
Yeah, that's very funny, man.
Seriously, I mean, what does make him different from...
Not everybody's a drug addict and an alcoholic. And hello, folks, just a moment. Not everybody is an alcoholic, you know.
Not everybody, no. You're right. You and me. That leaves the rest of them.
Well, here he is. I'm going to hold his picture up there. His name's Ted Williams. He's got a gorgeous voice, but
What happened? You got to wipe down your camera, man, because it went all blurry and stuff. I think that guy's good looks.
Yeah, his good looks. His name is Ted Williams.
Can I ask a question at this point? I don't even want to be, you know, bad or anything.
What?
Is he black?
What's everybody looking at me for?
Well, I mean, you have to sign off on it.
Yeah, you're the black guy. You got to sign off on it.
I don't know. It looks like he's black, I guess.
He does. He looks, yeah, he's African-American, I think. And
why do you think he's African American?
Because he's got the frizzed, you know.
Aha! Well, he got a frizzed out head, huh?
Hey, I just thought of something when you was talking about having drugs and everything.
What?
Well, Glenn Beck, he was an alcoholic.
That's true. Glenn Beck was an alcoholic. So
look at what's not knock. I'm going to tell you something about Glenn Beck. If I could just give you an opinion here, if you don't mind.
What?
No, I'm going to tell you something good. Glenn is fantastic on television. He's fantastic on television. He's the best thing on TV that Fox has. Forget about for just 5 seconds what his politics may or may not be, because it's never been about that for me. It's about whether the guy's any good or not. People don't understand that, though. But he's great on TV. Now, when it comes to radio, even Glenn would tell you, I'm sure, he ain't all that great.
Apparently he ain't, because they dropped him at WOR. So anyway, that's what I wanted to do, and I don't want to listen to you go off on Glenn Beck.
Hey, I'm going to make you work for your dollar. Say something with that great radio voice.
When you're listening to nothing but the best of oldies, you're listening to Magic 98.9.
Don't I play that, Phil, so maybe someday in the future you're standing under a freeway on-ramp, and you're...
Thank you very much.
You hung up on Mr. Hall.
But you don't have to tell me every time I hang up on him. You don't have to let me know that I hung up on him. I know that I hung up on him, okay?
Yeah.
What a world, man. That poor man, drugs, alcohol, yeah, that's what'll do it, you know? But like I was saying, and like David, I think, put even better than me, you'll be in good company, sir, if, you know, you get off the street, you're still on drugs and alcohol, you won't be living on the street anymore, but you'll be with some... Anyway, the other news we were referring to, Glenn Beck may be one of the hottest talk show hosts in the country, but he apparently left. Why are they making a big issue out of this in the news? It's the liberal blogs that are making a big issue out of the fact that Glenn got dropped off of WOR in New York. But they don't understand his appeal. His appeal is his television appeal, not his radio show. It's unfortunate. I think there's a lot of radio program directors, and here again, we keep coming up against that problem, which is the intelligence quotient of the people that program radio stations. Because a guy's great on TV does not necessarily mean he's great on the radio, or vice versa, for that matter. WOR, one of the city's two biggest talk stations, said this morning it dropped Beck's syndicated show as of January 17th and replaced him with a familiar New York name, Mike Gallagher. No offense, but if that's the replacement for Glenn, things must be bad at WOR. The reason is ratings, said WOR program director Scott Lakefield. Somewhat to our surprise, the show wasn't getting what we wanted. Beck, whose style is sometimes off-center and who hosted a well-publicized national rally in D.C. last year, has been seen one of the rising conservative radio and TV talk stars. No, he's been seen as one of the rising TV talk stars, not radio. The trade magazine Talkers ranked him number 3 on its Heavy 100 list last year, which is a mistake by, you know, Talkers magazine. Talkers gets over impressed with television presence. It's a radio show that you guys should be reviewing, not a radio and TV show. Okay.
You're going to get grumpy and depressed about this, aren't you?
No, I'm giving you the straight scoop. What do you mean grumpy and depressed? I'm giving you the straight scoop about Glenn's show. The Trade Magazine ranked him number 3. Gallagher was a longtime host on WABC before he moved to national syndication several years ago. WOR General Manager Jerry Crowley praised Gallagher as a New Yorker who will comment more on local issues than Beck. Gallagher's show will originate part of the time from WOR studios. He's nationally syndicated, which makes him think that he's going to do anything more local. Gallagher said it's a privilege to join a station like WOR and that he looks forward to increasing ratings and revenue. His arrival with will shift WOR morning host John Gambling's hours.
Who was that one guy who worked at WOR that you said was a wienerhead?
I didn't say wienerhead. Get out of here. I forget his name anyway. All right, we'll be back here, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We still have this job interview to do and how to rock it. World-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, our number 877-876-PHIL. With me, Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard here, our final segment in our news hour. All right, so how to rock your next job interview. With a new year comes a fresh start, and your next interviewer knows nothing of your past mistakes. So, if you were a drug addict living underneath
Yeah, like that guy.
Well, you know what I'm saying. So take the time to prepare using these tips, and you'll walk into your next interview. Excuse me. What the hell? What did I eat tonight? Can somebody remind me?
You had a Big Daddy. I know you had some of Big Daddy. And then another thing you had, I forget.
You had a Coke.
Well, I had a Big Daddy's burger because Big Daddy makes a very good burger. But no, I did not have a Coke. So I don't know what the hell's wrong with me. Anyway. So take the time to prepare using these tips, and you'll walk into your next interview confident and ready to put your best foot forward. That's right, bud. Only put your shoe on, okay?
God, man.
All right. Number one, be yourself. It's tempting to morph during an interview. Do you know what morph means?
Uh-uh.
To change. Morph. Morpheus, you know. Well, actually, Morpheus is asleep, as in morphine. This is more and more. Never mind. To tweak an answer to tell the story you think someone wants to hear. To say you like to work independently when you don't. Tell your true story and let your true personality shine through. If the job is really a good match, you'll fare better by being yourself. So let's say I'm interviewing you for a job, bud, okay?
All right.
Now, just be yourself.
All right.
You don't fart, man, okay?
Yeah, but why can't he?
Don't fart, all right?
Yeah, but why wouldn't I want him?
You want to be yourself, all right?
Yeah, but you said be yourself, right?
Okay, fine. He was himself, that's great. I don't want to hire you.
No, but that's you said to be myself.
It doesn't work with farts, all right? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Now, that's what I'm talking about. When you tell somebody to be themselves and then they are themselves and then you say you don't want to hire them, that's a lie, a dirty lie. It's a dirty lie. A man would lie like that.
Yeah.
Oh, bull crap. You knew the minute you farted, man, that I was going to say you're fired, okay?
How can I be fired? You didn't even...
I mean, I'm not going to hire you. Number two, learn to enjoy the interview.
You said number true.
Yeah, you said true. You didn't say two.
Are you guys doing this for real or...
Yeah.
Then shut up and let me do this. Learn to enjoy the interview. We don't have many chances to compete in life anymore, but a job interview is a chance to show off what you can do for a new team. Relish this opportunity, even during the interview itself, and prove yourself to a new crowd. So enjoy yourself, right? So let's say I'm saying, so Mr. Dickman, what do you like to do?
Well, Mr. Henry, excuse me. Mr. Henry,
you stop doing that, okay?
Well, why are you telling, man? You're giving mixed messages.
How's that a mixed message?
You tell me to have fun and to be myself, then you hit me.
Because you cut a fart, man. Do you understand? Do you understand that?
They're not letting me have fun.
Can you have fun some other way? Look, I know what you guys are telling me, but I'm telling you right, you can't go into a job interview and fart. No, they don't mean that when they say be yourself and have fun. They don't mean that.
Well, then they should put write about it different. Because all you do, you blaming him and you blaming me, but you don't, you're looking down the thing you're reading.
I happen to be an employer. Am I not an employer?
Yeah.
Do I not know what it takes when someone sits down to talk to me about a job? Don't you think I know? I'm telling you guys, yes, you want to relax. Yes, you want to have fun. Don't cut a fart. I'm just telling you.
Then how is that consistent with what you said?
I guess it's not. I guess they forgot to put that in this U.S. News and World Report by Tim Tyrell Smith. By the way, don't fart.
Well, it'd help out if they would.
Oh, okay. Well, why don't you email them, man?
I will.
Good. I swear to God, do it.
I'm good. I'm going to go email a guy right now.
Go ahead. Tim, Tyrell-Smith.
Is he like from England or something like that?
I don't know where he's from.
Tell him he should have mentioned farts.
I'm going to.
Oh, God. Number three, engage your interviewer. Why are you taking my hand?
They talked about engage.
Give me my hand back. What are you doing, man?
I don't know.
Engage your interview. You talking about like putting a ring on it or something?
Whatever they're talking about.
Engage your interviewer. An interview should be what a gay thing that was. Get away from me. Engage your interviewer.
No, you get away from me.
Engage your interviewer.
You already said that.
You're repeating yourself in your old age.
Get out of here.
Number three, engage your interviewer. An interview should be a two-way dialogue where both parties get a chance to ask probing questions. So ask away, and don't be afraid to ask tough questions. When you engage your interview is more likely to become a business discussion and less of an interrogation. So feel free, bud, to ask me questions as I ask you questions, okay?
All right. Are you going to wear those? Are you going to wear underwear? Because you're not wearing any, I can tell.
Yeah, I will wear underwear.
Because you're not wearing any now, and I thought that was bad.
Because we're not really doing a real job interview. We're doing a radio thing. We're trying to illustrate it. And you're just making a mockery out of it.
No, he's not, man. Everything he says is makes sense.
How does that make sense? What he could do is ask me a real question like something around here. Like your duties and stuff.
Okay. Do you think you could get some envelopes? Do you think you'd get some more envelopes?
More envelopes for what?
For the stuff you mail.
What stuff do I mail?
Just letters and everything.
Yeah, okay, we'll get some more envelopes. Is that what you need?
I don't know. But would you?
Yes, I would. I would get more envelopes for stuff that we mail.
Is my job going to be mailing stuff?
No.
Okay.
Well, that was really great, man.
Yeah. To me, that's more respectful.
That's way more respectful. And also, the other thing is, it had nothing to do with the job that he's going to do. He's not going to mail anything, but he wants to make sure that I'm going to get more envelopes in case, what, some other cat's mailing stuff?
Well, don't you send out stuff?
The fulfillment house sends stuff out. You talking about the stuff where... Oh, man.
Well, man, you ought to be a lot clearer about this. You said this is going to be a job interview, and that everybody'd understand how to do one. And so far, man, you've been doing a dog.
Yeah, you pretty much have been tickling the pooch on this one.
Why don't you shut up about the pooch? Speaking of the pooch, man, if you do this during a real job, you'll be definitely getting to know the pooch real good. Number four, forget the odds are not in your favor. It doesn't matter if five other candidates have already interviewed for the job, and you can forget the five who will interview after you, too. Those factors are out of your control. Boy, they sure are in your case, bud, because I've already decided I'm not hiring you.
Dude, that's not fair, man. You tell me everything.
Yeah, man, you ought to be a lot more fair with him.
I'm kidding. God, man, you almost started crying.
Well, why wouldn't I? You're wrong. You're just wrong.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's the definitive statement tonight. I'm wrong. You got that right. I'm wrong in a lot more ways than you think. Forget the odds. It doesn't matter if five other candidates have already been interviewed for the job, and you can forget the five who will interview you interview after you. Those factors are out of your control. So put those thoughts away and interview without restriction, meaning just relax, forget it. You know, let's go into a job interview as if you are not going to get the job.
Then I would fart more.
And, you know, Are you joking or what?
No, man. I mean, what if you had to?
Take care of it before you go in there. Number five, fill your head with victories. Okay?
What's that mean?
Here's what it means. Filling your head with victories means instead of thinking about your shortcomings, play a best of reel in your head when you have breaks during the day. Focus your mind on days or hours when you were on top of the world, when you were loved by everyone as the rainmaker or problem solver. You're offering the new company your best, so that's all you need to showcase. So get together a best of reel in your head of the things that you've done.
Yeah, it'd probably be his five best farts.
That's what I was going to say.
The five best things that you guys have done. You must know, because I can't think of any.
Ha ha.
That's right. That's right. Ha ha.
Yeah, ha ha.
Yeah, ha ha. And finally, number six, get ready, then let go.
What's that mean?
I'm going to say. Number six, get ready, then let go. And it ain't about a fart. Of course, it's possible to over-prepare for a job interview, but you can also forget to transition from preparation to execution. So when it comes time to do the talking, put all the preparation tools away so you can relax and focus on your goal. Meaning, like what I always tell you guys, build the form and pour the energy into the form and forget the form.
Yeah, I still don't know what you're talking about.
Well, there it is, and there were like five or six other points to get to, and I couldn't get to them because you guys were farting and asking stupid questions.
I already got a job. I don't care.
Me too.
Anyway, guys, check this out, U.S. News and World Report. We'll see you tomorrow, philhenryshow.com. Jason Rantz is our technical, is our producer, and our technical director is Charles Wygant, and our associate producer, Dan Northcraft.
Yeah!
Phil Hendry.